Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 29 of Jubo Hub. This is our show that is in podcast and in YouTube. So grateful for you to be with us again today. And by the time this show is aired, it'll be about the 1 year anniversary of the Jubo Hub website and the show in general. So thank you so much for all of you for your support. Today, I thought it would be really, really, really fun to just interview the Mark Howell. No extra guests today. He's been a fantastic co-host on our show for many, many months and has helped take the show to another level. So Mark, welcome, my friend. Good to see you.
Thanks, buddy. It's good to be here. Always have fun with you. So yeah, I'm looking forward to any kind of conversation you and I can have together.
Yeah. So especially for our audience, I thought interviewing you would be especially pinnacle for those who are new to the industry and for those who have been in the industry for a while, who are looking to be in some sort of a training role. So let's just start with, like, how did you get into the industry and specifically, like, how did you wind up in training type roles within the industry?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. I've been having these conversations with other people as I have what I call, you know, I'm aging in our industry. I grew up here. I am finding that people are asking me that question a lot. You know, how did you transition from, you know, one to the next, or to, I, as you know, that's where I met you. I went on to the vendor side. So my journey has been an interesting one and one that I have loved for 20 something years now. But when I thought about this industry, and I know I'm going to date myself when I say this, so I apologize for you young people listening. There was a thing called a newspaper that we used to have to read where we go to the Help Wanted ads, right? But I found this industry because I was living in my first apartment when I was younger, and I remembered thinking the guy that showed us around and leased to us was so cool. And I had never really experience someone with such a fun personality that could be themselves in a professional setting and do what they were doing. And I thought, gosh, you know, I could do that. I'm a fun guy, right? And so I thought, let me look into that. Well, at the time, way back then, you had to have there. All the ads said 2 years experience required. And I remembered beating my head up against the wall thinking, well, how do you get the experience if no one will hire you? Right. So I would go through the Help Wanted ads until I finally had a mutual friend that introduced me to someone in the industry. And they said, you need to go to a headhunter. And so I did that, and they found me a company that was willing to take on a newbie. And I fell in love with the industry, what I was doing. And I think that's one of the most important things, advice that I would give to anyone breaking into this industry is this. You will know if you love what you're doing within the first, I would say, 3 to 6 months, right? And if you don't truly love it with all of your heart and soul, then go find you something that you do love, because this industry needs dedication. It needs love and nurture. Where it's like you said earlier, it's a people business. And I felt like I kind of possessed all those things. I cared about people, maybe sometimes too much. I broke all the fair housing rules growing up in the industry, you know, because I cared too much about people. I listened to every sob story, and I learned the hard way, but I learned, you know. And when I spent so much time out on site, I worked for the Worthing Companies. And at that time, you know, the Worthing Companies, they were developing some of the most exclusive types of properties and product and the experience. Like, they were definitely ahead of their time. And so we didn't have the option to be lazy or have mediocre work, right? The expectation was to do great things for our residents. And it was just a belief that I quickly saw and absorbed and said, you know what, I want to do great things in this industry. And I knew that to move up, I needed to pay attention. I needed to show up. I needed to learn everything I could. I needed to do the work. And I did. And I spent many years out on site working my way up and really thoroughly enjoyed the on-site experience. Now, mind you, on-site experience is a little different today. I know that our world has changed, and you might hear me reference to the good days, the fun times we had back out on site when we got to, you know, I don't want to say goof off, but I mean, it wasn't as stressful as it is today, right? Like asset managers and owners are on the properties now. Like I never even knew who our owners were for most of the time, but I then found a passion from my then leader that was the training director. And she said, I want you to come and be my assistant. You have the personality. And what's funny is I still say this even today, some of the leadership there said, you know, Mark, we can train people for these skills. We can't train for the will. Mm-hmm. And I say that to a lot of my clients, like there's a huge difference in will and skill. And I use my hands to kind of compare them because I always say I can train for the skill, but if your employees are unwilling to do the work or unwilling to be the best, I don't know that I can make them be that for you, right? They have to come with that sort of already in them. Right. And I remembered my then boss said, you know, you have the willingness to do what it takes. And I got into training, and I think, you know, the training factor, when I met up with you guys, we were probably maybe your second or third client. Do you remember?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay. Cause yeah, I felt like that's what Michelle had told us. And so I just found training so fascinating that sort of gave me a whole new introduction to online learning. And then, you know, as you know, I spent many years in the training department, but took my stab on the vendor side. And that's where you and I got to work more closely together. But, you know, I think people ask me, like, when I look at your resume, you've pretty much stayed strong or true to that sort of training vein. I did sell marketing for a while, advertising and marketing, but again, it was kind of a relationship with training. But there's something about when I look at the young people or people in our industry, and I think, I hope that you will love this industry as much as I have, you know, that you will find your path and it become a really great career because it changes people's lives. And I think about some of the people that I have brought into the industry, even by accident, friends that were in other fields or other industries that needed work. And I would say, why don't you try this? Just see what you think. And, you know, if you hate it, then no worries, but come and give it a chance. And I have so many friends that have stuck with it and made really great careers for themselves. So I look at all of that and I think, you know what, it was because of the training that was sort of that needle that kind of pushed me and helps me push others. So, you know, kind of full circle, that's where we are today with who I am.
Yeah. No, and it's awesome. I think watching that journey, being part of it, which has been an awesome privilege, getting to work with you, co-training with you, being on sessions together. Now we're doing this show together. Yeah, what an amazing journey that you've had. And from, you know, from my perspective, if I can, you know, give you a testimonial, you know, it is awesome to see that level of commitment to the industry that is driven by your passion for people and for training. You're so well respected in our industry. Every guest that we've had in the show, you know, just when we get chatting before and after, just an amazing conversation. That's all I know about you, and attribute that that aura, I guess, so to speak. And it's just fantastic. And so it's like when you were mentioning a minute ago, like how the industry has changed so much, you know, it is a different world for young people coming into property management. And it's different for us. Okay. Yeah. We're not old, Mark. We're not old.
Yeah. Right.
It is a little different for us. We've been around the block a couple of years. But do you think that even with all the changes, that we're in a new chapter of the industry? When you think of things like advocacy that the apartment associations are so deeply involved in, the amount of leadership programs that are available for those who just come out of college, and you think of IREM's 30 for 30. Mm-hmm. And then you think of all the opportunities the industry is displaying to really embrace social issues. So maybe those bigger things like what we're dealing with and seeing weren't as prevalent 20 years ago, but here we are today. So as you've like watched your career mold and where you are right now, do you feel like that we are in a new chapter? And for those who are in the industry now, or those who are coming in, that there is a lot to be excited about?
Oh gosh, yes. And look, I think everything about life is a chapter. It's what you make of it. No matter what happens professionally or personally, life's going to change you, right? And so with that change, we learn, we grow, we accept, we embrace, and we certainly have done that. Training has become so technical now, and I love it. I would never have called myself a technical person years ago, but it's fascinating what we can do with technology and how it does reach more of the masses today, the younger generations, the micro learning that we're doing now. You know, before, you know, back in our day, it was a 3-hour, 4-hour fair housing class or compliance classes that were mandatory. Right. Well, and now people are embracing more sort of little small bite-sized segments of training, and that's acceptable. But yeah, I mean, I think it certainly has, it's changed me. I've loved it because I'm not afraid of change. It is something that I embraced a long time ago, that life will change you. Our industry will change. We have to change. So I think that this industry, I've watched the changes that have happened, and it's been fascinating. But you know, now in this age we're in today, it's like you said, 20 years ago, we might not have had our eyes so much on inclusion and diversity and the topics that are happening in our world and society today. So I am fascinated. I'm fascinated to see what the younger generations will come up with. It fascinates me too that they are so willing to be nimble and pivot and creative. And I will be curious to see where our industry is even in 10 years from now, you know, because these young people are making huge waves and they're changing things. And I'm not just saying young people, all of us, right? We've all changed. We've all had to come up with new solutions and new ideas. And to kind of wrap it back into the training, I think it's all about your training. You know, if you really think about embracing all of this change and how are you learning to use technology? How are you accepting and embracing how people learn? And I say this a lot when I'm teaching individuals. I ask, how do you learn? You know, are you a hands-on? Do you need a recorded session where you can go back and watch it a couple times? Do you want me to, you know, is it more audio, visual? Because we all learn very differently. And if we're not embracing many multiple ways of creating new training moving in the future, we're going to miss out on people retaining that information, because you might learn very differently than I learn. And then the next person's going to learn completely different. So what you retain might be more or less than I'm willing to retain. So it training is one of those things that constantly is going to change. And I'm fascinated to see where we are in another 10 years from now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you were saying a couple of things that made me think of the forever title, Train the Trainer. Like we're always, yeah. And when I first heard that title years ago, it took me a minute to be like, okay, what does that really mean? And I think that means a lot. I mean, of course, there's coursework that is on Train the Trainer and how to be a trainer. But I think on an individual level, and it speaks to your story quite a bit. It's like, do we have mentors? Absolutely. Do we have people we get on the phone with and have a conversation with that inspire us and help us with our careers? Absolutely. But we're not underneath a company like leadership or advancement program. And a lot of companies don't have those. So as you've watched your career grow and change and pivot, has there been any like go-to resources? As an example, you talked about technology. You know, a lot of things have changed. So what would you say about that, Mark? How have you personally been your own trainer? Like you've been training yourself to keep up with things that are changing. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, sure. That's a great question. You constantly have to be looking at the resources that are in front of you. Our industry is filled with them. I go to all of my friends and colleagues, and you know me, I'm not one that will say I know everything. I know I don't. And so when I don't know something, I ask 1,000 questions. I have the gift of gab or the curse of it. I don't know, but I'm not afraid to ask questions. Even if it makes me seem, you know, uneducated about it, I'll walk away knowing more than I did. So if I want to know something about marketing, I go to the marketing experts in our industry. And I typically like my young friends, they know I use them. I keep them around because they're young and they're smarter than me and they know things I don't know. And so I will go and I kind of position myself in conversations very deliberately. You know, I look at, you know, what they do, what kinds of technology are they using that I don't know about? And then I start asking them questions. Well, tell me about this. What would you say works better for you? And I let them teach me, but Google is my best friend. The associations are my best friends. Reading, I love taking topics. I'm looking at a book on my desk here, The 5 Dysfunctions of a Team. And I can't wait to start reading this because, you know, no matter how much training we offer people out on site, we still always have dysfunction, right? And so I try to take other people's literature, maybe books or podcasts. I pick up advice and I try to put it into some type of practice. For me, my advice would always be never get to a point where you think you know everything and you stop learning. If there's a title of a book that you think could be beneficial for you or even for your teams, then pick it up, read it, try to educate yourself. But when I'm creating classes, I like to do a lot of research as far as sending out a questionnaire, asking people, you know, tell me, how does this make you feel? And what's that called when you surveys, you know, I survey them because honest, raw feedback also really gives me great insight that I may have overlooked. So in my position, being the, you know, sort of one man show of how creative concepts, when I know I'm going into working with a client, I have to say, I really want to survey your employees. I want to survey either top leadership or people out on site to determine what your specific training needs are, because again, everyone's are different. So I educate myself based on what people are struggling with or really loving at the time.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Great advice too. You know, like there is a ton of resources and I get the sense that there is, of course, some discipline to it. I know for me, it's like, I do have like a routine of my go-to resources and it's like, I depend on them. I know they're going to help me. And in turn, they're going to help the customers and people that I get to interact with for what we do. So that's fantastic. So, you know, we're interviewing you, Mark, and what an amazing journey that you have been, and you have Howl Creative Concepts, and it's How long has that been instituted now? Is it when was your anniversary? Or is there an anniversary coming
up? Yeah, so we're going into our third year. I mean, my second year was COVID. So that was very challenging as far as, you know, learning how to pivot quickly with technology. But I loved that even my second year was learning to teach the things that I do love and teach the people that needed it, but in a different way. You know, it was all of that now was about touring with technology. And so, yeah, I'm in my third year. I feel like last year, 2020, was kind of a blur. So I have to kind of remind myself, but I am in my third year. Yeah.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Yeah. Especially, yeah. Going through the challenges of COVID, unfortunately, has put a lot of pressure. New businesses is already difficult enough without having something as major as that, having an impact on it, but you're doing well. And, so just give us an idea. What's some of the training topics that you are working with people on?
Oh gosh, that's a great question. I actually have some of my favorites. I teach a branding class right now. It's all about you embracing your own professional brand and personal brand. Everything that, if you think about it, if you truly think about the buying power of a brand, a logo, a tag, it's all about what do people, an emotion, I'm sorry, it's an emotion that is attached to your brand. And I have tons of emotions attached to certain brands, whether they be good or bad. And I either tend to stay away from those that I don't have a good emotion about, and I tend to gravitate toward the ones that I know I love. And so I teach a class right now about what is it that you want your brand to say, you know, about you. And it's a fun class. It's very interactive and I love it. I also it was 2 years ago, we did the What Would You Do? I don't know if you ever saw any of that, but the What Would You Do is more of an interactive. Have you ever seen the show What Would You Do? It's about what's the guy's name that you go out into a public place and you film people behaving very badly. And then it's what would you do in that?
Oh, okay.
In that
yes, I've heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did a, you know, playoff of it for our industry, and we recorded some scenarios, some situations that happen every day in our offices, you know, with our residents and with each other, and how we behave. What we do today defines tomorrow, and that is for our internal customers and external customers. So I loved that class, but I tend to focus right now really on things like that, like the decisions that you make today. And when I say decisions, it's also about communication. I have a wonderful communication class. How you're communicating to people, it's either going to be a positive response or a negative response. So understanding what type of style of communicator you are, what is it you need in the conversation, and then understanding what is it that your listener needs, embracing that. It's funny, when I started researching and doing more research on just communication styles and what it truly means about your personality, it fascinates me because it's pretty clear, you know, like a lot of people will say, oh, I don't love taking those types of assessments, but the assessments that I've done are pretty accurate. You know, I can say, yeah, that's totally you, or that's totally me, based on when we do the assessment about either your personality or communication. So I'm fascinated with that type of stuff because I think that everything we do is emotionally charged. There's that emotional intelligence to it. So look, we can decide to make really great decisions for our careers. And let's face it, everything we do is it either positions us in the right way or the wrong way for our future by that one small mistake, that one bad conversation, that one moment of weakness, of emotional intelligence sort of breakdown that we can't really recover from. And so I love teaching on that. I love training on that. I love the idea of diving into what makes people tick. And teaching that in the sales cycle too, the power of the emotions attached to the sale itself. If you think about that too, like whenever you're purchasing something, it goes back to the how your emotions are with the brands and then how emotionally connected to the sale you are. And if you're not paying attention to your consumer or even what I call your internal customer, your coworkers, you might be missing a very valuable piece of your workday.
Yeah.
But I love it. Those are some of my favorite topics right now.
Yeah. And there you go. But listen to that passion, guys. I mean, that's what it's all about. I know you have other classes available too. So that's what I wanted our audience to hear, Mark, was just, it's been, like I said earlier, awesome to be with you, to be a part of it, to watch it, to be coworkers, to be colleagues. And now we have the show together and your business is growing well. And for anyone and everyone who's listening, it's like, that's what you need. You can't be a trainer without, there's got to be some love. I mean, there just has to be. There's got to be that emotion involved. And otherwise, you know, it's like, I think of Ferris Bueller's Day Off. So another thing we'll date ourselves with is just like Bueller, Bueller. You know, it's just so boring sometimes. We think of some classes that we've been to, but not yours, man. Not yours. So, awesome, awesome stuff. Thank you so much. You know, this has been fun that we got to just focus on you for today's episode here, episode 29. Remind everyone again, if they're interested in having you work with their company, come visit them and teach these classes, work one-on-one, how can people connect with you?
Absolutely. Yes. So it's howlcreativeconcepts.com, which is Howl is spelled H-O-W-L, like Howl at the moon. Howl. You can reach me at mark@howlcreativeconcepts.com. So either way, I am certainly excited, Jonathan, to continue our show together. My biggest thing is, if I haven't said it enough, is that passion. And I love the guests that we have had. They're very passionate about the topics that we have been talking about with them. And I that's my advice. Find your passion. Every morning you wake up, if you're going to stay in the industry, if you're going to stay as a working professional, find some passion in what it is that you're doing. Love it. Because that is, we work more than half of our lives. So I've always believed that you should love what you do, but find the passion in it and make sure that you stay passionate about it. So yeah, that's my advice.
There you go. Nice quote to focus on for this particular episode. So yeah, man, thank you again. Yeah, we're going to have, this show is continuing to grow. We thank everyone for their support. Please share it with your network. This is education to help all property management professionals. And so we're very grateful for your help and support of this show. So this has been episode 29. My name is Jonathan Saar. And this was a special episode interviewing my friend Mark Howl from Howl Creative Concepts. We'll see y'all again soon. Take care.
Bye-bye.